So we're using three of today's lectionary readings today, and the first one is from Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7.
It's headed, Water from the Rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And we heard two words there. One was Massa, which means testing, and Meribah means quarrelling. We've already read some of the words from Psalm 95, which is today's lectionary psalm, but we're going to use, again, if you're using a hymn book, it's number 818 at the back of your hymn book, and we're going to read this responsively. But it doesn't actually include that the Psalm 95 does refer back to that passage from Exodus that we've just heard. God was saying to the people, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did." But we're not going to read those words. They're not included in this Psalm 95 that's at the back of the hymn book. But we'll use these verses that we have here, remembering that psalm was also reminding the people of what God had done for them. And that's why they were to rejoice and to bring their praises, because they needed to remember what the good things God had done. But we forget so easily, don't we? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Amen. We're going to hear the gospel reading now, which is John 4. It's quite a long reading, So we're going to have it as a dramatic reading, and it's from a version called The Voice.
For Jews in Israel, Samaria is a place to be avoided. Before Solomon's death, 1,000 years earlier, the regions of Samaria and Judea were part of a united Israel. After the rebellion that divided the kingdom, Samaria became a hotbed of idol worship. The northern kings made alliances that corrupted the people by introducing foreign customs and strange gods. They even had the nerve to build a temple to the true God on Mount Gerizim, to rival the one in Jerusalem. By the time the 12 are travelling with Jesus, it has long been evident that the Samaritans have lost their way. By marrying outsiders, they have polluted the land. Israel's Jews consider them to be half-breeds, mongrels, and the Jews know to watch out for them or else be bitten by temptation. In a small Samaritan town known as Sychar, Jesus and his entourage stopped to rest at the historic well that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. It was about noon when Jesus found a spot to sit close to the well while the disciples ventured off to find provisions. From his vantage, he watched as a Samaritan woman approached to draw some water. Unexpectedly, he spoke to her.
Would you draw water and give me a drink?
I cannot believe that you, a Jew, would associate with me, a Samaritan woman, much less asking to give you a drink.
Jews, you see, have no dealings with Samaritans. Also, a man never approaches a woman like this in public. Jesus is breaking accepted social barriers with this confrontation.
You don't know the gift of God or who is asking you for a drink of water from Jacob's well. Because if you did, you would have asked him for something greater. And he would have given you the living water.
Sir, you sit by this deep well, a thirsty man without a bucket in sight. Where does this living water come from? Are you claiming superiority to our father Jacob, who laboured long and hard to dig and maintain this well so that he could share clean water with his sons, grandchildren and cattle?
Drink this water and your thirst is quenched for only a moment. You must return to the well again and again. I offer water that will become a wellspring within you that gives you life throughout eternity. You will never be thirsty again.
Please, sir, give me some of this water so I'll never be thirsty and never again have to make the trip to this well.
Then bring your husband to me.
I do not have a husband.
Technically, you are telling the truth, but you have had 5 husbands and are currently living with a man you are not married to.
Sir, it is obvious to me that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped here on this mountain, but your people say that Jerusalem is the only place for all to worship. Which is it?
Woman, I tell you that neither is so. Believe this. A new day is coming. In fact, it's already here. When the importance will not be placed on the time and place of worship, but on the truthful hearts of worshippers. You worship what you do not know, while we worship what we do know. For God's salvation is coming through the Jews. The Father is spirit, and he is seeking followers whose worship is sourced in truth and deeply spiritual as well. Regardless of whether you are in Jerusalem or on this mountain, if you do not seek the Father, then you do not worship.
These mysteries will be made clear by he who is promised, the Anointed One.
The Anointed One is speaking to you. I am the one you have been looking for.
The disciples returned to him and gathered around him in amazement that he would openly break their customs by speaking to this woman. But none of them would ask what he was looking for or why he was speaking to her. The woman went back to the town, leaving her water pot behind. She stopped men and women in the streets and told them about what had happened.
I met a stranger who knew everything about me. Come and see for yourselves. Can he be the Anointed One?
A crowd came out of the city and approached Jesus. During all of this, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat the food they gathered.
I have food to eat that you know nothing about.
The disciples said to each other, "Is it possible someone else has brought him food while we were away?"
I receive my nourishment by serving the will of the Father who sent me to complete his work. You have heard others say, "Be patient, for we have 4 more months to wait for the crops until the crops are ready for harvest." I say, take a closer look, and you will see that the fields are ripe and ready for the harvest. The harvester is collecting his pay, harvesting ripe fruits for eternal life. So even now, he and the sower are celebrating their fortune. The saying may be old, but it is true. One person sows and another reaps. I sent you to harvest where you have not labored. Someone else took the time to plant and cultivate, and you feast on the fruits of their labor.
Meanwhile, because one woman shared with her neighbors how Jesus exposed her past and present, the village of Sychar was transformed. Many Samaritans heard and believed. The Samaritans approached Jesus and repeatedly invited him to stay with them. So he lingered there for 2 days on their account. With the words that came from his mouth, there were many more believing Samaritans. They began their faith journey because of the testimony of the woman beside the well. But when they heard for themselves, they were convinced the one they were hearing was and is God's anointed, the liberated king sent to rescue the entire world.
Thank you so much. We're going to see a short video now where the woman tells us about this experience.
Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." The woman said, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water?" Jesus replied, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again." The Book of John, chapter 4.
They say your life could change in an instant. And mine did when a Jewish man asked me, a Samaritan, for a drink. I have been drinking from the same well for more years than I could count. For me, change seemed impossible. I didn't even want it. But the well always left me thirsty. So I came back to it over and over when no one else could see me. I always came alone. The truth was, I had no husband. He told the truth, the real part of my life, the one I tried to hide, but he looked right through me and met me where I was. He wasn't ashamed of me. He wasn't angry. In my life, I thought I'd experienced love. I thought I was pretty good at finding it too. But I didn't even know what love was. On an ordinary day, I went to draw water and had a thirst quenched I didn't even know I had. I don't know if they'll believe me, but I gotta try. I gotta tell them I found the Messiah. Rather, he found me.
The words that stood out to me when I watched that video was when she said, "A thirst quenched I never knew I had. A thirst quenched I never knew I had." And really, all I want to say is what we looked at while the young people were still with us. And now, hopefully, we're going to have that slide back up. We're going to have, lovely, well done. We've got all those words on it again. And I'm going to do what I did when I last came, is invite you to spend a few moments quietly. And I had a very interesting conversation with Alison after the service last time I came, when she, with all her wisdom and experience, said that we don't always allow ourselves enough time in church to be quiet and to think. And what I'd like to invite you to do now is to imagine it's you at the well with Jesus. What is it that you want to receive from him? What is it maybe that you don't even know you need? But that's still possible, isn't it? Because I think there's various prayers. A prayer I was once told on a weekend when I was really struggling was to pray that God would make me willing to be made willing to then give myself to God. And I found that really helpful at the time, because I was sort of fighting inside and I couldn't just pray, "I am willing," but I could pray, "God, help me to be willing to be made willing." And that was the first step on that path to God. And so just for a few moments, we won't drag it out so that you feel uncomfortable, but just see what it is that you and Jesus are saying to one another at the well.